If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Forgive me, I have a cough. And we'll be starting in verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "These have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this chance to come together this evening to continue to worship you, Lord. I thank you for the chance to preach here tonight, Lord. Thank you for all who have decided to come. Lord, please bless all who are preaching tonight, Lord, and let the Holy Ghost speak through us, Father. And Lord, let us glorify you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. This man who's talking to Jesus, he is, the Bible says he's a certain ruler, and it says that he is wealthy, which means that he is a man of authority, and he is a man of wealth. And clearly he at least considers himself to be a moral man, because when Jesus mentioned five of the Ten Commandments, he said, "I've kept these all my life." He said, "Don't commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And when the man says that, "I've kept these from my youth," I believe him. He probably doesn't sit around. He doesn't commit immoral acts. Doesn't lust after women. He's not killing anyone. He's probably honest in his business dealings, which would cover not stealing and not bearing false witness. And he probably treats his parents with respect. Now, what's interesting is that there's five more commandments of the ten that Jesus doesn't mention. "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, and thou shalt not covet." I find it interesting Jesus didn't say these five to him. And Jesus later on says, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Even though this man was what we would call a moral man, even though this man was a man who was probably very well respected, very well received, someone who, if he wanted to come to spend time with you, you'd be honored to be with him. But he's lacking something. When Jesus tells him to sell all he has and come and follow him, what he's saying to him, this man, is that your money, your wealth, and your possessions are your God. You're not, you may be moral in how people see you, but inside, you're not following the Lord with all your heart. You're not following the Father with all your heart. Sell all you have, give to the poor, and follow me. See, we all have sin in our lives. And sometimes that sin is so great, it prevents us from following God. It prevents us from realizing we need the Savior. Or that sin is so great excuse me, that we don't want to give it up for Jesus. And Jesus himself said, for it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When you live for something above God so much that you can't give it up, whatever that item is now your God. Our money says, in God we trust. But for how many people, they put their trust in that money? Either you put your trust in God or you put your trust in something else. And if you put your trust in something other than God, it's a false trust. It's empty. It's hollow. It's not going to last. A long time ago, I read in a comic strip, this guy was going to be an apprentice to a very wealthy man, but was a very evil man. And the guy says, well, look, I'll work for him for a few years, then he'll die and he'll leave me an inheritance. And his mother said, son, that when that man dies, he's taking all his wealth and he's burying it with him. And where he's going, it's going to melt like butter. And truth be told is that even if you could take all your wealth with you, if you live for that wealth, it's not going to do you any good. Because it's so hot down hell, all that gold will evaporate. This man was trying to live a moral life, and he thought that was going to get him to heaven. I think he was looking for Jesus to confirm that. I mean, he said, I think in Matthew and Mark, they said, what do I lack? But I think he was just waiting for Jesus to say, no, you're a good moral person. You're a great guy. I like you. You are going to go to heaven because you're so, so great. And he came up short. And truth be told is that when the Bible says it's easier for a camel to move through the eyes, through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, that's true because for most people with wealth, they live for the money. But how many people who aren't wealthy live for money? How many people who are poor put all their trust in riches? If we didn't have poor people putting their trust in riches, we wouldn't have the lottery. We wouldn't have get-rich-quick schemes. We wouldn't have criminal activity. I mean, it sounds to me like very much like in order for someone who is wealthy or someone who puts their trust or someone who lives for riches to get saved, it's going to take a miracle. Amen. Well, fortunately, we worship a God of miracles. Amen. So turn to the next chapter of Luke. I chose the story in Luke for this reason, because in the very next chapter, we come across another rich man. The title of my sermon is The Two Rich Men of Luke. Chapter 19, verses 1. And Jesus, entering and passed through Jericho, and beheld, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He was a tax collector for the Romans. He was a Jewish man who was collecting taxes for the hated Romans. And he was rich doing it. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass this that way. Now here we have Zacchaeus, the wee little man. He was working for the Romans. He was collecting their taxes. He was the chief among the taxes. He was the top tax collector. And the tax collectors were known for cheating people. They made great wealth by going up to someone who owed, like, say, they may have owed 2 shekels for taxes. They go to say, you owe 4 shekels. And you had to pay because they had the power of the Roman army behind them. And if you fought back, well, you'd be put in jail or killed. So even though you know you only owe 2 shekels, you paid 4 for your safety. And the tax collector would keep those extra 2 for themselves. Zacchaeus was the chief of them, so he was probably making huge profits doing this. And because he was a Jewish man working for the Romans, that probably made him twice as hated. But We worship a God who loves us in spite of ourselves. He says, and when Jesus came to the place, this is verse 5, he looked up and saw him and said unto Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from a man by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much also as he is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus, this very wealthy man who got his money dishonestly, Jesus said that salvation has come to his house. The moral rich man who said he followed the Ten Commandments, at least the five Jesus said, went away because he wasn't willing to sell all he had and follow Jesus. Now, I want to make something very clear. The fact that Zacchaeus gave away his money and restored fourfold to anyone he ripped off, that's not what saved him. It was Jesus Christ who saved him. It was his faith in Jesus that saved him. But what Zacchaeus knew was that there was a sin in his life that was holding him down and holding him back. And that sin was the fact that he had achieved wealth dishonestly. He had taken money from people who he had no right to take. And because he was living for his riches, that was separating him from God. So what does he do? Half his wealth he gives away. And he restores back fourfold what he has taken dishonestly. Now that probably would leave him destitute, truth be told. But you know what? I guarantee you, Zacchaeus now has treasures in heaven beyond measure. Zacchaeus is walking in the streets of gold. And you know, he was a man of little stature here on earth. But I guarantee you, as he's walking down the streets of gold, people are saying, there goes Zacchaeus. Did you hear how he gave away half his fortune to the poor? How when he realized how he was lost, he gave away fourfold. He returned fourfold to the people who he had wronged. Oh, everyone, sin is an anchor that holds us down. Good. And if you're not willing to give up that sin, it's going to hold you down even after you get saved. It'll keep you from serving God. Amen. And when you put this sin you have before God, you're going to fall short. You can look moral on the outside, and you can impress the world, but you know what? You're not fooling God. That's right. God looks on the inside. And when you finally say, okay, God, you're right. This sin is too much for me. I have to give it up. Lord, I repent. Lord, I come to you. God will be waiting there for you. Jesus is waiting for you. The Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. And I don't care if you were Zacchaeus or if you were that murdering robber on the cross next to Jesus. God can forgive you of your sins. There's no burden too great if you just put your faith and trust in him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time I have to preach today. Lord, I once again thank you for the people who are here. Father, I pray for the other two men who are preaching tonight. Lord, let this be a great night of glorifying you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, thank you, Matthew. That's good. Pastor. All right, good. In just a moment, we'll have a greeting time. I want to remind you of just to pray for my wife. Just the baby, but her grandma is passing away, and they're very close. Her grandma actually raised her for a couple of years, and they're very, very, very close. So she might already have passed away. We don't know, but just pray for my wife during that time and with that situation, because she's probably not going to even go down for the funeral, but they have always been close. So pray for my wife in that. Okay, it's time for our greeting time. Let's go around and shake hands.